that, we're going to get into our sermon today, and we're going to talk about putting Jesus in the middle. And that's what I titled it, the series or whatever, Jesus in the Middle. And you say, well, what does that mean? But how many of you know Jesus is supposed to be the center of our life, right? He's supposed to be in the middle of everything, but sometimes we don't allow him that place, right? Through different situations or reasons or issues, we skirt around, or we don't pay attention to him, or we don't look at him, or we allow the situation to just overwhelm us, and so that's the last thing we're thinking about. How many of you guys get something in your mind? That's all you can think about. It consumes everything in your life, right? Well, sometimes we do that, and I'm going to talk about, and I'm going to read out of the scripture today in John 20 in just a minute, and we're going to talk about the disciples, and they were going through a difficult time, and how Jesus came in the middle of their situation, and it changed everything. When you put Jesus where he should be, as believers, you know, we're aware that Jesus never leave us or forsake us, right? Scripture tells us that. And the thing about it is we get in trials and tribulations and issues, and we forget that fact, right? How many of you have ever been in a situation, something happened, you totally forget about somebody that was there with you, right? I did that with my kids once at Walmart. It was bad, but they're still here, so it's okay, right? If you get so consumed with something that you forget about the people that are around you and the people that should be a part of what you're going through. And today we're going to talk about that. Jesus said this, John 16:33. He said, I say these things to you that you may have peace. What does he want us to have? Peace. In this world, you might have some tribulations. No. You will have some issues. You will have tribulations. But then it says, take heart, I have overcome the world. And honestly, a while back I had somebody tell me this, and I was like, man, Jesus said, hey, be at peace, he's overcome the world. He's like, yeah, but he's not the one doing this right now. And you know what I said? It's because you're not letting him. Right? It's because you're not letting him have that place. You're keeping him out of that place. You're not allowing to be there. He's overcome the world, and he said, abide in me, right? And I'm going to take care of it. That's a Toby translation. Y'all like that one? Abide in me, and I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. You're going to have everything that you need. Just come to me. Scripture tells us over and over that we're supposed to abide in him. And it also tells us that those who have been saved by grace have been given his Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? Leads us, guides us. In John 14:16, it says, I'll give you another helper, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. So in the middle of everything that we go through, Jesus should be in the middle of what we're going through. The Spirit should be in the middle of what we're going through. The Holy Spirit's our greatest companion, guide. We may not always be able to see him being there, but you know what? He's there. We might not see Jesus in the middle of our situation, but let me tell you, he is there. And he's there even more in our issues. He's even more in our issues. Not that he ever leaves us, but that's when we can see him the most a lot of times. And this is one thing that Psalms tells us. Psalms 34:18, it says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Saves the crushed in spirit. Multiple passages in the Bible show us time and time again that God has been in the middle of situations when people needed him the most. Right? Old Testament, New Testament. You look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What happened? They're in a fire. What does it say? There's four of them in there, and one of them looks like the Son of God. Right? Didn't we throw three guys, and now there's that one in there? What's happening? How is that? Why? Because he doesn't leave us in the middle of our biggest issues. And today, we're going to talk about our struggles. And what should happen, man? What should happen is because we're not alone, we shouldn't be afraid. You know, my kids, they don't. We're in a two-story house now, and they won't go upstairs by themselves. They can't go by themselves alone. Sometimes they can pair up, and the two girls can go up. But at night, Dad, you need to go upstairs with me. I was like, well, go up there. I'll be right. No. You need to come. Why? Because they're not alone. So what? They're not afraid. And if we would understand in our situations that we're not alone, maybe we wouldn't be afraid of the things that we're facing. Maybe we wouldn't be scared. Remember, like the little kid? I don't know about if you guys were like this. I know I was. I'd get in an argument, a fight when I was a little kid, and then I'd run home, and my dad would step out on the porch, and I was real tough then, right? I'm running home fast as I can. They're going to beat me up. They're going to beat me up. Oh, yeah, my dad's here now. Go ahead and say something, right? Right? That's what it should be in our situations that we face. Hey, you're coming at me, but guess what? He's with me, so I don't have to worry about you. That's how it should be. Sometimes it's not always the case. We're gonna read a passage of scripture, man, where we see the disciples, the followers of Christ, being in a place where everything they thought that was right, that was real, that was good, was taken away from them. How many of you ever felt in that place before, right? Everything that was right, that's supposed to happen, isn't happening the way that I think that it should. And because I don't think it's going well, I'm worried about everything, right? We see them be this in this chapter. We're going to read something that took place just soon after Jesus died on the cross and was just right after resurrection. And then we're going to read a couple of days later, about 8 days later, but it's all in the same little passage. I'm going to read it to you real quick. It's going to take me just a minute, all right? John 20, 18 through 29. It says, on the evening of the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be to you. When he had said this, he showed him his hands and his side, and then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus again said to them, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so even so I am sending you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive any sins, they are forgiven of them. If you withhold forgiveness, it is withheld. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see his hands, the marks of the nails, place my finger into the marks of the nails and place my hand in his side, I will never believe. Verse 26, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came, stood among them and said, peace be to you. And then he said, Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, and pull out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas answered to him, my Lord, my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have believed and have, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. A lot of times in our life, we go through issues where we need to believe on God. We need to believe that he's there. We need to allow him to be a part of our situation and put him in the middle of our situation. Give him that place. And a lot of times we don't. Some of the times that we go through and the issues is because the lack of believing him, the lack of seeing him be there brings apprehension. And the first thing I want to talk about is the apprehension of the fearful. Number one in your notes. Apprehension is anxiety or fear that something bad or unpleasant will happen. Right? That's what apprehension is. The disciples are hiding in this place with the doors locked. Why? Because they're afraid. They don't know what the future holds, right? Their Savior died, now was resurrected, but they don't know where he's at. They haven't seen him, right? So what happened? And you know how the mind works. Doubt comes in all different ways. Well, maybe this happened. Well, maybe that happened. Well, maybe they took his body. Well, maybe this happened. Maybe this, maybe that. How many of you have the maybe that's in your mind when stuff happens, right? Especially when you're calling somebody and they don't answer. Maybe they're in a ditch on the side of the road. Maybe they got kidnapped. Maybe this happened, right? So many things that happen in our mind, and it's all fear that shouldn't be there. Shouldn't be there. They're all gathered in this upper room, and they're fearful because their Savior is gone. People killed him. They may be coming for us next because we hung out with him. Situation didn't look very good at all. And what happened in the middle of it? It says, Jesus appeared to them. Hey, in your notes. Jesus appeared to them. John 20, 18, 19, or 18. Let me read that. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be still." In the middle of our issues, man, if we would just listen to the voice of Jesus telling us, "Peace be still." It wasn't a dream. Jesus was there. And although they didn't think he was going to be there, although they didn't understand, see, we have such an advantage on them. We do. Why? Because we know what happened after that. We know that he appeared. We know that he ascended. We have his word to tell us what happened, what's going on, how we should live our lives, right? What's the Bible? Again, that's what we used to tell the kids, basic instructions before leaving earth, right? That's what these are. We have these things, and we know because of the past, that the things that we've done in the past, that God can and will take care of us, not just in our lives, but in other people's lives. But they're going through this at the first time, and they don't have the Holy Spirit with them as of yet to give them power, to give them peace, to comfort them in the midst of these. We need to understand that we are never far away from God. We're never far away from the Lord. At all times, in every situation. Acts 17, 27 and 28 says that they should see God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, in him we live, move, and have our being. God is there. Jesus is there for us in the time of our struggles, in the time of our issues, and we just need to look for him. Psalms 145:18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth." I don't know about you, but I've called on him many, many times, and he's always been there. Always been there. What Jesus does when we call on him is be. Jesus comforted them. In the midst of where they were at, the first thing he said to them is what? "Peace be still. Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you." Again, the joy, the peace that God gives to us, man, it passes understanding. It does. I've been through situations in my life and not understood, and people said, "How could you be so calm and collected in where you're at?" Or, "How can you not be so upset?" And man, I was devastated at some of the things that have happened, but at the same time, I knew that God had to have a purpose or a reason, right? I don't understand it, and I may not have liked it, but I understand that God has a purpose, has a plan, and that's the only way that I had peace with what was going on in my life, right? That's the only way. Again, man, April and I, our first child, we never met, right? He went to be with the Father. We don't know how or when or where or what. I think that's my boy. My boy's up there, and when I get there, he'll be like, "Hey, Dad, what's up?" I'm like, "Hey." I don't think that's how that works, really, but I've got that in my mind, right? He would be 16 right now, driving around. Be fun. Or she. I don't know. But it's one of those situations that people say, "Well, how do you go through that?" I was like, because for some reason, God said, "This is the best thing in this situation, and this is what's going to happen." And you know what? I had peace about it. Why? Because I want what God wants for me, for my family. So in the middle of those situations, Jesus comforted me, comforted my wife, comforted our family, right? We see time and time again the situations in the scripture where God, Jesus, comes and brings comfort, brings peace. The guys, they're in the middle of the ocean, right? They're the sea, and it's going crazy, and he walks out to them. That's scary enough in itself, amen, right? So, hey, wait, that's not supposed to happen. But what did he give them in the middle of it? Peace. Peace. The next thing we see that he does in this passage is Jesus challenges them. He challenged them. You say, what? When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad to when they saw the Lord. Jesus said unto them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. In the middle of the place where you're hiding right now, I'm about to send you out to do something amazing. I'm going to take you from the position that you're in of fear, of worry, of doubt, of anxiety, and I'm going to send you out. Like, whoa, I don't know how good I'm going to be in that. Well, when he gives you his peace and the anxiety leaves, when you truly understand that it's not about what you do, it's what he does through you, it gives you a whole new outlook on where you're at. There's nothing better for a fearful heart than a fresh encounter with the Lord, than a fresh encounter with God. It drives out fear. It takes it away. Again, I haven't ever seen him physically, but I know he's there. I know he's always there. Next thing Jesus did is he empowered them. So if you notice, he comforted them, or he appeared to them, showed up on the scene. He gave them peace, comforted them. He challenged them, I'm about to send you out. And then he said, I'm going to give you what you need to be able to do what you're going to do. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew he would ascend, he would take off, and he knew that they would be there, and he didn't want to leave them alone. If you're a child of God, man, saved by his grace, then you have the Holy Spirit with you as well. The power to be able to serve him the way that we should, to stand up and proclaim how good he is in a right manner, in a right way. How many of you know there's a wrong way to proclaim certain things? Right? And there's a right way. He gives us self-control. How many of us need that? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Self-control. He gives us kindness. And that's not him being kind to us. That's us being kind to others. It's a fruit. It comes out of our life. And it's because he's there with us. Sometimes in the middle of all our situation, though, we still doubt. Sometimes even though other people have gone through things, we still doubt. The skepticism of the doubtful. Being doubtful or living in doubt does a couple of things, man. Let's read Thomas. Now Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciple told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see his hands, the marks of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hands into his side, I will never believe. Living in fear and living in doubt can definitely be detrimental to our lives as Christians. It can hinder us. It hinders our faith. It hinders our commitment. Because how do we get things from the Lord? How do we get things from God? By faith. Faith is believing. Doubt is the opposite of believing, right? Doubt can rob us of our peace and our joy, our confidence. And this is what happened. Doubt brings deception into our lives. How does that happen? Because doubt allows us to think all kind of things. Allows us to think all kind of things. Doubt allows us to be deceived in ourselves, and in turn we do what? We deceive others. Because how many of you spread your doubt? We do. My wife laughed at me the other day because somebody told me something. I was like, well, you just need to be positive about this situation. She's like, are you the one saying that? out loud right now. I was like, stop it. Because she's all the time telling me, well, you need to be positive. You need to be positive. I look at things and I see negative. I do. I'm just going to be honest. I've always been that way. And I try to overcome that. And this is the thing. Doubt causes you to do things you never should have done. And act in ways you never should have acted. The others told Thomas about the Lord, but he said, I'm not going to believe it till I see it. I ain't going to believe it till I see it. He wondered if it was true. Was it really the Messiah? Could it really be true about what they said? And what happened? Doubt. Satan put that seed of doubt in his life, in his mind. A seed of doubt questioned the authority of the Lord. You say, how is that? Well, it can't be possible. And I ain't going to believe it till I see it. Even though Jesus said he would be back. Even though Jesus said, in 3 days I will rebuild this temple. Now, I get it. They saw it a different way. They were thinking the big temple is going to be torn down and be built back up. But how many of you know? God tells us things all the time in our lives, and we just don't listen and pay attention to them. We allow, again, our situation to defeat us, to deceive us, to cause doubt. And when that happens, it can defeat us spiritually. That's why Jesus did this. What did Jesus do? He always fought off Satan with what? The word, the truth. He always used the truth. And it casted out all doubt, casted out all fear. Another thing that happens with doubt, B, is it fosters dissension. The division that came between him and the other disciples. Why? Because we believe this and I don't. Right? How many times do we allow doubt or dissension to come between the children of God? We do it all the time. We do it in all different buildings. Well, I'm in this building because I believe it this way, and you're in that building because you believe it that way, and because of that, we can't be together in walking. And how does that come? It comes by doubt. We don't believe certain things. We don't allow God to teach us and train us and show us these things. And Satan, again, continues to use the same tactic time and time and time and time again. People demand proof of this and that and the other. Man, I can't tell you. I can't explain the virgin birth. I just know it happened, right? I can't explain how Jesus died and lives again and ascended to be by the Father. I just know it happened, right? I can't explain how Jesus takes a heart of sin and changes it forever. There's a lot of stuff I can't explain. I can't explain how I flip that switch on the wall and those things come on. I just know it does. It got something to do with current. Right? There's a lot of things in this world I can't explain, but it doesn't mean that they're not true. And it doesn't mean that it's not right. And it doesn't mean that I need to let doubt into my life so that it can cause issues between me and other people. Because that's what it does. Doubt also causes despair. So Thomas, because of doubting, it put him in a box where he was by himself because everybody else believed, but he didn't. How many of you know when you're by yourself, when everybody's believing this and saying this and doing this, and you're over here, how many of you know it causes despair in your life? It causes you to be upset about different things. You know, I don't know why he wasn't there on the first night. You know, well, Jesus didn't wait till everybody was there, right? Everybody showed up at the party. It's one of those things, man. We don't know the answers to all these things, but we do know this, that doubt separates us from God and will rob us of what God wants to do in our life. Number 3 in your notes, The provision for the faithful. The provision for the faithful. I'm glad we serve a God that's merciful. Jesus came again and Thomas was there. It was then that Thomas made the discovery that would change his life forever. That this is Jesus. That he is alive. And that everything he said is true. Faith came back into his life again. He began to believe. He began to understand that anything is possible with God. Anything. And faith does a couple of things in our life, man. The first thing that it does is it renews our fellowship. It says, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be to you." You notice there weren't any other questions asked at this point. Jesus goes from, "Peace be to you guys, I'm here, don't be upset, here I am." And then he did what? He went straight to Thomas. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered to him, "My Lord, my God." How many of you know it'd be really, really easy if he just showed us everything, right? This is what you do. "I can't do that." "Yeah, you can. Here, check it out. Here you go. There it is." "Oh, okay. It's so much easier to do now," right? How many of you know it's hard to follow sometimes when you don't understand what's up? When you don't understand what's happening? When you don't understand what's going on? Thomas got to see, and then he started to believe. A heart that was filled with doubt, that was afraid, that was worried, now it's changed completely, right? Now it's changed, and it restored the fellowship, not only with himself and Jesus, but it also, because doubt separates you from God, amen? It not only removed the doubt there, but it also mended relationships with the guys that were beside him that were saying, "Hey, this is what's happening," and like, "I don't believe you." How many of you, if your friend tells you they don't believe you, That's the same thing as calling you a liar, right? That's the one thing I don't want to be known as, right? Like, honestly, I tell my kids that when they do something wrong, right? I'm like, you give an ultimatum. If you do this, then this will happen. You know, those are all through the scripture too. If you do this, then this will happen. If then, that's what my dad calls them. But I do that with my kids. "Hey, if you do this, this will happen." And then they do this. And so I sit them down. I'm like, "What did you do?" "I did this." "Well, what did I say was going to happen?" "That." "Do you want that to happen?" "No, me neither. But right now I have a decision to make." And they say, "What's that?" I said, "I can either be a jerk or I can be a liar. Which one would you rather your dad be? A jerk because I'm a hold to what I told you was going to happen and you don't like that and I don't like that? Or a liar because I'm going to let you go through and just go ahead and do what you're doing because I already said if this happens, then this would happen." Right? I don't ever want to be a liar. I'd much rather be a jerk. I'm just being honest. I mean, I don't want to be a jerk, but you know what I'm saying. I'd much rather be that. And that, see, how many of you know God's not a liar? If he said it, he's going to do it. If it's in the word of God, it's going to happen. Right? I want to be the same. I don't ever want to be known as a liar. I want the truth to always be there. But when I say something, I say, "Hey, this is what happened." And they say, "No, it didn't." What does that make me? And that causes an issue with our relationship then. Why? Because you can't trust me. You don't trust me. And you can't have a relationship that you don't trust, right? Jesus came, talked to Thomas, and it restored the relationship that he had with God and with the people that were there. We need to understand that we need to allow him to restore our faith. The next thing that faith does is it restores our focus. Thomas answered him and said, "My Lord, my God." Where he was aimless and he was sitting there in this room, scared of what was going to happen, when Jesus came in the middle of the situation, what happened? It gave him focus now. I've told you, "Hey, this is where I'm going to send you. This is what God gave to me, and this is where I'm giving to you, and you're going to go and give it to others, right? It focused their life. But this is the thing. We can't focus on Jesus in faith and continue in doubt. You have to do one or the other. You can't do both. Man, we all have seasons of doubt. We all have issues. But if we can remind ourselves that Jesus is there and that he's going to take care of it and that he's paid for it and that the Holy Spirit gives us power to be able to do the things that we need to do and that we don't have to be afraid, guess what? Our doubt goes away because we're walking in faith. Faith and doubt are the opposite of each other. You can't have them both. You can't have your cake and eat it too, right? You can't have doubt and faith at the same time. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. We need to trust God. We need to trust Jesus. We need to allow him to be in the middle of every situation that we have. Because no matter what we're doing right now, where we're at, God has given us a plan and a purpose and laid a path out for us to walk in. And doubt keeps us from that. We need to allow him to renew our mind. We need to allow him to be a part of our situation. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in those things. And when that happens, when that is a part of our life will be different than it ever was. And it'll allow us to be able to help change other people's lives. How many of you want to make a difference in people's lives? How many of you want people to look at your life and say, that's what I'm missing in my life. What am I missing in my life? You have it. What is it? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna quit. I wanna ask you a couple questions. Guys, you can come on back up. And ladies, you can come on back up. Sorry. You guys can come too. I just wanna be honest and ask you guys, man. How is your faith today? Are you letting doubt cloud your life, control your life? Are you letting fear overwhelm you? The trials that you're going through take precedence to the place that Jesus should be. Again, Jesus said to them, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed." We need to trust in him today for whatever we're facing, whatever you're going through, whatever situation. How many of you know there's no limit to what God can do? All things are possible. Only believe. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes, man. Today you're going through an issue. You're going through a situation. You're allowing doubt to come in. You're allowing doubt to take the place of where Christ should be in your life. You'd be honest to say, man, I'm tired of being in this place. I want things to be different. I want the doubt and the fear to be gone. I want to walk by faith. I don't understand what's happening or why it's happening, but I want to see God do something amazing in it. You be honest this morning and say, hey, that's me. I need him to do something in my life, in my situation. Just put your hand up, put it back down. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Somebody else. Thank you, thank you. Somebody else. I need to walk by faith. Stop doubting. Stop allowing what the scripture calls evil imaginations to come in and take what God has given me. And the only way to do that is to give it to God. Heavenly Father, this morning, as we're here this morning, God, we are in your presence. We know that the things that are holding on to us, the doubt, the fear, the situation that we're in, God, we know you not only want to give us peace in that situation, but you want to empower us to be able to go through it. You want to allow us to be able to use these things to help others see you clearly, Father. I ask that you would help us now in the situations and the things that we're going through, the issues that we have, God. We know that you are bigger than them. And we give them to you now. We're not going to pick them back up. We're going to let you have them and allow you to walk us through We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, we're out a little bit early today. Somebody should probably tell the kids we're coming. You get them ready. Listen, man, come and hang out with us today. Let's have some fun. Y'all ready to have some fun? Kick some balls around and hit the volleyball and play some cards and eat some food and just enjoy each other and laugh. Let's find ways to laugh today. You know what Scripture says about laughing? Does the heart good like a medicine. How many of you need some laughter today? I need it. You say, well, I'm not going to play those games. I'm not going to, man, come out and cheer them on. Yell and scream. Tell them how great they are. Laugh when somebody swings and misses the kickball and falls down. That's the best part, right? That's probably why I ain't going to play. I'm just saying. No, come, let's go. Let's hang out. Let's have a good time. And listen, if you have some friends that aren't here, that call them. Say, hey, come to the park. Well, I didn't go to church. That's okay. Come to the park. Well, I ain't got food. That's okay. Come to the park. Come and hang out, and let's enjoy each other and God today. Amen? Amen. We're going to sing, and then we're going to get out of here.